Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
It's through David that the Abrahamic covenant is extended. Now remember, the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant that God gave to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And then to Jacob's son Judah, the promise was given. And now it's going to come to this man, David. And through David, that promise, that Abrahamic promise, is going to be fulfilled.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series titled, The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Joshua, chapters 1, 3, and 5, in a message titled, Israel, a Holy Nation. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to end up there in a few moments. But I think most of us know that what we're doing here on Sundays currently is we are taking a big picture look at the story of God and those created in His image. So we're looking at the redemptive history of the world from the beginning of creation to the full realization of the new creation. So what we're attempting to do is basically taking an overview of the entire Bible. And so that's our goal. Now, we're going to sort of put the pedal to the metal today. We've got to make some headway here. And so we're going to be beginning in Joshua and focusing mostly on the story here in Joshua. But I want to extend us out in the narrative to the time of David. And in a few weeks, we'll actually get to the life of David and look at David's life. But let me just remind you where we've been. So over the past few weeks, we've looked at the story of God's covenant people, Israel. We saw how God rescued the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of slavery in Egypt, and how He made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai and gave them the law, which, as we saw, is to some extent summarized in the Ten Commandments, or in the Ten Words, as it is called in Scripture. We also saw how through His presence in the tabernacle, God was dwelling in the midst of His people, and yet their access was limited because of sin. So we talked about that previously, and we saw how in order to overcome the sin barrier, God established a sacrificial system mediated through a priesthood that would offer sacrifices in the tabernacle to cover sin until the one to whom the sacrifices pointed would come and offer Himself as the one sacrifice that would put away sin forever and permanently open the way into God's presence for all His people. So we saw how those sacrifices were temporarily covering sin until Jesus came to fully take away our sin. In our last teaching, we saw how the whole sacrificial system pointed ahead to Christ. And as we saw, according to John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word, who in the beginning was with God and was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And remember, I said that the word dwelt is tabernacled among us. So the tabernacle, we were talking about how all of these things in the Old Testament, they're foreshadowing things that are to come. They're pointing to things that are to come. So we saw how the tabernacle was pointing to when the Lord Himself would come and pitch His tent among us. And also we saw how Jesus, how the ancient high priest pointed to our holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, high priest. That definition is from Hebrews 7:26. Now, we sort of focused and basically ended in the 40th chapter of Exodus, which is the final chapter of Exodus. And we ended with the inauguration of the tabernacle. In other words, a tabernacle is all pieces are finally crafted. Everything's put together, the priesthood, everyone's ready to go. And now the whole worship system is inaugurated. And at the end of the chapter, the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. And so now God is present, dwelling among the people. And then from there, we go to Leviticus. Leviticus just quickly gives detailed instruction concerning the offerings, the priest, ritual purity, and the moral and ethical conduct of God's holy people. So as you read through, or as you've read through perhaps Leviticus, that's the gist of Leviticus. Now from Leviticus, we go to Numbers. And Numbers is interesting because the Hebrew, Numbers comes from the Greek Old Testament called the Septuagint. And it's called Numbers there because there are two censuses that are recorded in this book. But the Hebrew Bible does not call it Numbers. They call it In the Wilderness. That's the literal title in Hebrew, In the Wilderness, because what talks about is the period of time in which the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. So it records those 40 years. And if you've read over the story, you know that they wandered in the wilderness because of their unbelief and their refusal to enter the land out of fear of its inhabitants. They were consigned to wandering in the wilderness by God because of their disobedience until the generation of adult males that came out of Egypt until they perished in the wilderness. That was the punishment for their disobedience. And so that is essentially what you have in the book of Numbers. And then you come to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is made up of two Greek words, and it literally means the second law. So this is the second law. So Deuteronomy is a restating of the law. It's not a different law. Second, not in a different law. But it's stated a second time for a new generation, the generation that were children when they came out of Egypt, who are now on the boundary of the promised land and about to enter in. Deuteronomy also records the death of Moses and the transference of the leadership to Joshua, who will bring the people into the land that God promised to give them. And this is where the people become a nation in the sense that they have their own land, and it's a land that has been chosen, has been handpicked for them and given to them by God. So with that little bit of introduction, let's now turn to Joshua chapter 1. So we're going to read a few different passages from Joshua today. We're going to start in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite countries to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now let's turn over to the third chapter. And we're going to look at the first five verses, and then we're going to jump down to verse 9. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, go down to chapter 9. Joshua said to Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Now, one more passage, chapter 5 and verses 13 through 15. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, there's many more passages that I was tempted to read to us this morning, but I thought better not to read for too long. But in other words, there's so much more to Joshua. But these passages that we read, they first of all, they tell us about Joshua and his calling and God's word to him. And then secondly, we read about the miracle. Sometimes it's forgotten that there was a miracle in the crossing of the Jordan River, just as there had been a miracle in the crossing of the Red Sea for the previous generation. That God actually dried up or stopped up the river, the flow of the Jordan, so that they were able to cross the Jordan on dry ground as they had crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And then as they're about to begin the conquest with the first city of Jericho, Joshua has this encounter with this one who identifies himself as the commander of the Lord's army, who we can see from the context is none other than the Lord himself. And that's why he says, take your shoes off your feet, for the ground where you are standing is holy ground. We've heard that before. Where did we hear that before? It's when Moses turned aside to the burning bush and the voice spoke and said, take your shoes off your feet. So Joshua there encounters the Lord. Now, the book of Joshua tells the story of the conquest of the land of Canaan by the Israelites. So that's really the kind of the gist of Joshua. It's recounting the conquest of the land of Canaan. 400 years earlier, God had said to Abraham. Now, God had told Abraham, he said, your descendants are going to be, they're going to be slaves in a foreign land. Abraham is in the land of Canaan at the time, and when God is speaking to him. But the Lord is saying to Abraham, they're going to go and they're going to be slaves in a foreign land, but I'm going to bring them back to this place. But the Lord said this, he said, in the fourth generations, your descendants will come back here. And then he said this, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. The sin of the Amorites. Now, Amorites, Canaanites, we're talking about, these are just general terms for these nations in this land. Sometimes they're identified as Amorites, which were some of them, and then sometimes they're Canaanites. So know that it's all these different nations that are inhabiting this particular region that we would know historically would become the land of Israel. So the long overdue judgment of the Amorites has come. That's essentially what's happening here. 400 years pass. The Lord says, I'm going to send the people there, but the iniquity of the Amorites, the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. So God's going to, in other words, God's going to give the Amorites 400 years to repent. That's what the Lord is saying. So keep that in mind as we carry on today. So Israel is now going to carry out this judgment. That period of time has passed. The taking of Jericho will be the beginning of the conquest. So they will begin to conquer the land by taking the city of Jericho, which we'll look at a little bit more in a moment. And the conquest will culminate with 31 Canaanite kings conquered and the land allotted to the tribes of Israel. So this is pretty much what you get in the book of Joshua. It's the conquering of these 31 kings of Canaan, and it's then the allotment of the land to the various tribes. So Judah gets this area here, Dan gets this area here, Simeon gets this area here, and so forth. That the land is allotted to the tribes. Now, toward the end of Joshua's life, when the people had settled into their tribal inheritance, Joshua then gathers them together, and he gathers them together to really renew the covenant, kind of rehearse what God has done, and call them to a fresh commitment to the Lord. So he gathers them together, and he spoke prophetically to them of all that God had done. And he said this, this is in the 24th chapter of Joshua. The Lord said, I will give into your hand the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I gave you a land on which you did not toil, cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. So the Lord is saying, I did everything that I told you I would do. And here you are now. You're living in the blessing of that. And Joshua then goes on, and this is what he says to the people. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve. Those were Joshua's words. He's calling all of the leaders of the nation to make a full commitment now of themselves to the Lord. God has done everything he promised. You're settled in. You're poised for prosperity. Don't forget the Lord. don't fall back into idolatry. And as for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Now, as we read in Joshua at the end, it says that Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. So that generation that said that day, we will serve the Lord, they kept their word. They served the Lord. Now, Joshua dies, and as time passes, we come to the book of Judges in our Bible, this new period of time. And here's the postscript. This is what we read at the introduction to the book of Judges. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, the generation that lived with Joshua and committed themselves to the Lord, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. Wow. So the very next generation, it says they didn't know the Lord. And they didn't know the things that God has done. And so they turned to the idols. So this is the story throughout the period of the judges. This is basically just, judges is the story of everyone doing what is right in their own eyes and chaos ensuing. That's the story of judges. As you read through judges, there are the various judges that you could read about. And they were men that God raised up at times to deliver the people from the oppression, but it covers hundreds of years. The most solid judge of them all was a woman named Deborah. And Cheryl hooted for that because she reminded me of that yesterday. But this is a situation. And when you get to the end of Judges, I mean, it is so bad. When you get to the end of Judges, you seriously wonder, is there any hope for Israel? Is there any future? They are so far from what God intended them to be because of their own sin. You think that it has got to be over. They are on the verge of self-destruction. Then God intervenes and sends them Samuel. Samuel is really, he's referred to often as Samuel the prophet, but Samuel is really the last judge of Israel. And then through Samuel, ultimately David. And David, and we'll see this in a few weeks, David, it's through David that the Abrahamic covenant is extended. Now remember, the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant that God gave to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and then to Jacob's son Judah, the promise was given. And now it's going to come to this man, David. And through David, that promise, that Abrahamic promise, is going to be fulfilled. And so David will be the one who restores the nation and preserves them from judgment, but it's only for a season.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.